June of 1776, a committee of five was appointed to draft a statement of the colony's desire for independence and personal freedom. This committee was composed of John Adams, Benjamin Franklin, Robert Livingston, Thomas Jefferson, and Roger Sherman. As they worked together, Jefferson was asked to take the ideas that they were discussing together, to take those concepts and principles that had been debated for so long, and to put them together into a simple statement that would declare, "This is what we believe as the American colonies." On July the 1st, the first draft was presented to the Congress, where it was discussed and debated and revised by all of the delegates present. 3 days later, the work was completed, and on the afternoon of the 4th of July, the clerk of the Continental Congress began to read the document aloud for the first time. "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." When the clerk completed the reading, the delegates lined up one by one, and each placed his signature upon it. It became the Declaration of Independence. And today we think of that moment as the birth of America. As the last man signed his name, America became a free and sovereign nation. There was a war yet to be fought. There were conflicts yet to come. America was going to have to continue to live out the dream, the ideal. But from the 4th of July, 1776, we have been about the process of becoming a God-blessed nation. And that's why we celebrate the 4th of July today. A few years ago, Malcolm Gladwell coined a term for times like that. He called those moments tipping points. He said tipping points come from time to time. They come in the lives of the world, in the lives of nations, in the lives of companies, in the lives of families and individuals. A tipping point is that moment when something happens, when something transformational takes place, and from that moment forward, everything is changed. All of us have experienced a tipping point one way or another in our lives. It may be that somewhere along the line, you picked up a guitar for the first time and you realized that's what you were born to play. It may be that you took a part-time job because it was offered you in high school, but it became the seeds of a career that you pursued for the rest of your life. You stand in front of a church and you say, "I do." And two people leave that building, join together as one. You hear God's call on your life. "You need to trust me. It's time to be saved." Maybe you've heard him call before, but this time it's really urgent. And this time you know in your heart of hearts, it's time for me to follow Christ. And you tell him, "Yes." And it may even be that somewhere along the line, you hear his call in a special way. "I want you to serve me. I want you to serve me in ministry, youth ministry, music ministry, missions ministry, pastoral ministry." And you recognize, if I say yes, everything is different. It's a tipping point. And the Bible tells us there was a time when the ministry of Jesus reached its tipping point. For 3 years, he had fulfilled the ministry the Heavenly Father had given him. Thousands had heard him teach. Hundreds had experienced his personal touch. Blind people were now able to see. Crippled people were now walking again. Even some who had been dead were raised to life again. Now he had returned to Jerusalem. Now the Passover was near. And Jesus had come to the tipping point. Knowing that was true, John described that moment in Jesus' ministry. We read it together just a moment ago. This was the time when everything came together. This was a moment when whatever happened next was going to change not just the life of a Savior, but the life of a planet. No, the life of a universe. Nothing would ever be the same again after that moment. And knowing that was true, I want us to take a few moments and I want us to look together at that tipping point in the life of Jesus and what it means to you and what it means to me as we celebrate not just our political liberty, not just our physical liberty, but our spiritual liberty that's ours through Christ Jesus. So let's spend a few moments in Scripture this morning. And the first thing you discover is this. At Jesus' tipping point, Jesus chose God's plan. Did you see what he said a few moments ago? He said, "For this purpose I have come to this hour." It was the reason he was born. Jesus understood as he gathered his disciples, as very soon they would be making their way into the upper room, that final evening that he would spend with them. He recognized, this is why I came. This is why I was born. This is why God took on human flesh. It was all about this. It was the fulfillment of everything he had said and done. In fact, I think what Jesus was saying was, when he said, "For this purpose I came to this hour," I think what he was saying was, and without this hour, nothing I've done, nothing I've said, nothing you've heard, nothing you've seen really matters the way it needs to matter until this moment has come. Never think the death of Jesus was an accident. Never think of the crucifixion as something that was done to the Lord by others. It was the plan. From the moment he had been born in Bethlehem, it had pointed toward the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And apart from that, there was no other way. Remember how Revelation 13:8 describes him? The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That's a powerful statement, isn't it? From the foundation of the world. You know what that means? Before any of this was here, before the first animal roamed the earth, before the first fish swam in the sea, before the first man drew that breath, before any of it happened, at the very foundation is the cross. That's powerful, isn't it? It's powerful when you stop and think about what an incredibly vital thing the cross is in the life of Jesus and in the life of your life and in the life of this planet. It's always been a part of the plan. Unless he faced that hour, nothing that Christ had done would make any real difference. He had to make the choice. Heaven and earth lay in the balance. Everything would change. It's not an easy choice to make. In fact, he said, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." Even at that moment, he was thinking, "I'm not sure I can go through with this. I understand what lies ahead of me and understand something. Physical agony was coming, but physical agony was nothing compared to the spiritual agony of the one who would take upon himself the sins of the world." But he also knew this. For him to live, you would have to die. You would have to die eternally. You would have to die apart from God. You would have to die judged and condemned in that place called hell. And he knew it was so. And the choice had to be made. And so he decided, I will fulfill my Father's plan. He chose the plan. It was the tipping point. But he wasn't through yet. The Bible also says this, and Jesus at that moment judged God's enemy. Jesus said to his disciples, now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. It was on the cross that the conflict was settled forever. Good and bad, dark and light, condemnation and salvation. Everything was settled there. You know, a lot of people have everything wrong when it comes to that battle between the Lord and the enemy. You see, a lot of people believe this, that we live in a world that's in a place of constant conflict and that there's a struggle of who is going to overcome, who will be the one at the end who is able to stand strong. And we live in a world in which there's this huge battle between good and evil, between darkness and light, and nobody knows quite how things are going to turn out, and we won't know until the end of the world. But Jesus said, everything was settled on the cross. His death was not only the salvation of men, his death was the condemnation of the devil. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. Not someday, maybe not if things turn out the way they should, not if we're able to overcome. He said, now it's done, now it's completed, now the enemy is defeated, now his power is destroyed. It all happens now, and it all happened at the cross. It broke the power of Satan's grip. The cross took Christ away, took away the devil's power to condemn. This is what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us that at the cross, the world had a new king. Now, I know you might want to stop and think, wait a minute, he's always been king, he's always been God, he's always been ruler. But look at what he said. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. This world was under condemnation and the domination of Satan until the cross. And Jesus broke his power. It was the tipping point between judgment and grace. And then Jesus said this. He drew all men to the cross. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. It is the most powerful statement ever made. If I be lifted up. That had two meanings when Jesus said it. One is the most obvious meaning. If I be lifted up from the earth, if I be crucified, if he was talking about his death. And when he was lifted up on the cross, then that began the process of absolute salvation to everyone who believes. He had to be lifted up from the earth. But I also think it means this. When Jesus says, if I be lifted up, he's also talking about our testimony. Just exactly what Kimberly was talking to with our children a while ago. If I be lifted up, what do I have to offer other people? Well, you might say, I want to offer to those I love, to my family, to my friends. I want to offer them the best I have. So I have material goods that I'm going to share with them. This is one of those great times when we have that opportunity to share with others. I remember one Wednesday night several years ago when the Tautons were still here. Dr. Tauton came, and as he blessed so many of you, he blessed me that night with a big basket of tomatoes out of his garden. And that was great, and I was so grateful he shared those with me. But as he and I were standing there in the parking lot, on the way out of the parking lot, talking, I was standing there with my basket of tomatoes, and some of you may remember, Joe, that was just when choir practice ended. And as choir members went by, I would just take a tomato out of the basket, and I gave one to each car as they passed by. It's one of the most fun things I've ever gotten to do. It was a grand. When it was done, I had two tomatoes left for me. But who took care of me again later? It's great to have things you can share with others. It's great to have the ability sometimes to bless other people financially. You know, I've been given a gift. I've got a windfall. I want to share it with others. I want to share it with my family. I want to share it with my friends. This gives me a chance to do something for somebody that I normally wouldn't be able to do. And so you share it, and that's a wonderful thing. But the greatest thing you have to share is the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest gift you have to give is to lift him up in such a way that others listen and hear the story of Jesus. There are a lot of things I could say about our church, but if there's anything that always needs to be said about this place, it is that we are a Christ-specific congregation. That nobody ever walks out of this place and says, I'm not sure what they do there. I know that they're there because they love God somehow or another, and I know that they're trying to be good people, and I know that they seem to like one another. Whoever comes to this place needs to be able to say, and in that place, they lift up Jesus. They lift up Jesus as the one and only Lord, the one and only hope for any person, anywhere, anytime. Jesus drew all people to himself. He said, I will draw. You know, here's the thing we need to remember, and we can't bring anybody to Christ. We can lift him up, but we can't turn anybody into a believer. He has to do that himself. But he says this, but when you lift me up, I will draw them to myself. In fact, what he said is this, I will draw all peoples to myself. That word all is a huge word. It means everybody has the potential to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. All people. The cross broke down every barrier between Jew and Gentile, between good and bad, between chosen and unchosen. Everybody is covered by the blood of the cross. You know what happened at that moment when Christ was crucified? When Christ was lifted up, whosoever was born. That whosoever believes, and nothing stands between anybody and the salvation Jesus came to bring. Nothing except their own personal decision. Because of the cross, we know this. Salvation is freely offered to whosoever. And what you do with the cross is the tipping point for every soul. Sooner or later, everybody stands in the same place. Sooner or later, it's going to happen in each of our lives. We're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to say, lost or saved. Which do I want to be? Understanding there is no plan B. There is no option C. There's only lost or saved. And everything about that is determined by what you do with the one who gave himself on the cross for you. If you trust him as your Savior and receive the salvation that only he can give, the forgiveness of sin that comes from the blood of the cross, then you're saved. If you choose any other direction, then you're lost. It's just that simple. It is a personal tipping point. It determines whether you will be a slave to sin and condemnation or receive the liberty that only Christ can give. And you have to make the decision. You see, trusting Christ is your personal declaration of independence. And just as those signers so long ago, every one of us need to be able to say, I remember that moment. I remember that day. I remember the instant when I gave my life to Christ. We don't need to drift through life and say, well, I tried to be a good person and I went to church a good bit and I tried to do the right things. But you have to be able to say, just as they did when they signed that document, today I gave my life to Jesus. Today I trusted Him as Savior. Today I was changed forever. Jesus died to buy your liberty. And now you're at the tipping point. For some, it is that tipping point of salvation. For some, it may be a tipping point of surrender. God has been dealing with me in some powerful ways in my life. For some of us, it's about repentance. There's been sin in my life, and I've allowed it to be in my life, and it's festered in my life, and I know I've got to do something about it. And today, I repent. I'm tired of excuses. I'm tired of justification. I repent. For some of us, it may be that tipping point in which God is saying, here's something very specific I'm dealing with you in your life. There's something I want you to surrender to me, and I don't know what it is, but you do. And maybe today is the day when you say to the Lord, I give up. I give it to you. I want you to have my whole life. Tipping point. Letting God have His way. Who decides whether that's going to happen or not? You do. You and you alone. God's given you free will because He wants you to choose Him. And He will never force you to make that decision. But the decision is there. The tipping point is in place. What are you going to do with Jesus, the one who came to save? What are you going to do with the promises that were made because of the cross? What are you going to do? In a minute, we're going to stand up. We're going to sing our invitation hymn. And that's a chance for you to do what you need to do. I'll be here at the front. If you need to become a Christian, you come and say, look, tell me more. I need to know how I can trust Christ as my Savior. Or maybe God's calling you to be a member of this fellowship, and you know it's what He wants you to do, and you just need to say yes and follow His way. Or maybe there's that thing that you need to surrender and let go of. It may be something you can do right where you are, but it also may be something where you need to come and say, I just want to make it public. I surrender. I surrender. There's something you need to do? Let's stand. Let's sing.
If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray.
I'm glad we got to share this day together, and I hope as you go out into your 4th of July activities that you'll be just as excited about the birth of our nation as these young people were a while ago with Kimberly. I hope you're just, yay, I'm an American, yay, I'm so grateful for this land, yay. But I also hope that somewhere across the day, you'll do the same thing, yay, I'm saved. Because of the cross. Let's bow together for our final prayer and then one last song as we're dismissed. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that the tipping point of all of history is found in the cross and the Savior who went there on our behalf. And Father, we thank you that everything about us is defined by our relationship with Jesus. Help us, Lord, to be grateful, to be thankful for the land you've given us and the Savior who died for us, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Bless you.